Our director is Uri Galed. Our technical director is Angela Alston. And as we continue our Breaking the Sound Barrier tour, tomorrow night I'll be in Troy, New York, on Thursday in Concord, Massachusetts, Friday in San Antonio, Texas, then San Rafael, California on Saturday, Phoenix, Arizona on Sunday, back in New York next week. You can go to our website at democracynow.org for Breaking the Sound Barrier tour details. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
And you are listening to radio station WUSB in Stony Brook, where the time is just about 6 o'clock. That means, once again, it's time for Off the Wall. Look at this. I'm browsing on the internet. I'm sorry. I should be doing the radio show, I know, but I just got caught up browsing the news on the internet. And what do you think the top story is? Top story? It's not North Korea. It's not the situation in Iraq. It's not the corruption in government. It's not global warming. It's not mass murder. It's not the 300 million people that live in this country, the obesity that plagues us all. No, it's Madonna and her quest to adopt a child. That's the top story? My God, go to CNN.com right now, 6.03 p.m. Eastern Time, on this, the day of our Lord, October the, oh God, what is it, the 17th, 16th? I don't even know, 2006, and you will see that I'm not lying about this. Oh, I'm sure it's an important story to them, but why does anybody else in the world care? I don't know. I'm not going to try to figure it out. We'll try to figure out some other things during this hour that we have. A couple of programming notes. We are on tomorrow night, it turns out, for another edition of Off the Hook. We didn't think we were going to be on, but apparently we did so well at the WBAI fundraiser that they want us back. So we'll be on again tomorrow night from 7 to 8 Eastern Time for that program. This program next week at this time will be starting the WUSB fall fundraiser. And I know a lot of you will be throwing your hands up in the air and tearing your hair out and kicking the dog, whatever else you do when you get frustrated, because yet another fundraiser. Yes, it's two radio stations. What can I tell you? This is a different radio station, and just try and pretend like there wasn't a fundraiser on BAI just for the last few weeks, if you listen to both shows, and just think of this as a completely different, separate place that needs support, too. In fact, the support this place needs is nothing compared to what BAI needs, so your donations here mean all the more. That's right. We talked jokingly about someone making a $10,000 donation last week to Off the Hook, and how that would pretty much cover most of the day for fundraising. In this case, it would probably cover the entire drive. So if you're thinking about that, please call us next week. So we have that to look forward to, and we'll have all sorts of fun things in the weeks ahead. It also means that we probably won't be able to take phone calls, since we'll be opening up the phones for pledges next week. So your phone calls are welcome this week at area code 631-632-WUSB, 631-632-9872. And let's try and start that on the half hour, meaning let's try and get a bunch of calls coming in at that time. Then we'll move to the phones. You know, I'm not tempted to move to the phones when I just see one light lighting up and ringing and ringing and ringing, because that's probably a lunatic. Probably somebody just wants to talk about one little issue that's near and dear to them. Like, it could be Madonna calling, wanting to talk about her adoption, and I don't really want to talk about that. I want to have something to fall back on in case that one blinking red light turns out to be a lunatic, you see? So if there are five blinking red lights, good chance that at least three of them aren't lunatics and we'll have a good conversation. Now, last week, as it turned out, we only took one phone call, and it was a great phone call, and unfortunately we weren't able to get to any of the other ones. And that's just how it happens sometimes. So if you have something on your mind, if you have an issue with me or with anybody else, and you want to set it straight or just make it known to the public, well, this is your chance. And again, on the half hour, we'll start taking phone calls. Hopefully we'll get a lot of them today, because we might not be able to take phone calls while we're taking pledges over the next few weeks. What that means we might not even be able to talk before the election. Yeah, think about that. And I got to tell you, this election had better bring in some changes to this country, or I am out of here. Seriously, it's enough already. What is it going to take to convince people that it's not working? We have all kinds of scandals involving incumbents. We have a death toll going up by the minute in Iraq. I think it hit 3,000 yesterday. 3,000 total. Okay, 3,000 total. It's not 3,000 Americans yet. We have two different scorecards going for some reason. We have 3,000 coalition deaths, and then in a month or so, we'll get 3,000 American deaths. And add that to the, three-quarters of a million Iraqi deaths? And what do they do to leaders that kill that many people? And I'm sorry, George W. Bush has killed that many people, because you don't necessarily have to be a Stalin or a Hitler. Who knows what they're doing? Yeah, they knew what they were doing. They knew who to kill and how to kill them. You're just as guilty of the murders anyway if you stumble into it and you do something incredibly stupid. They just found this guy guilty of murder a few minutes ago, actually, for for driving drunk the wrong way down a local highway and killing two people last year. Yeah, it was stupid. It wasn't cold and calculated, but still murder. And that's how you have to look on all these deaths that have resulted in a policy of pure stupidity. But that's not what I want to talk about right now, anyway. I want to talk about something that really bugged me over the last couple of days, and that's lost productivity. I know that sounds very business-like, not like me at all, but nothing is so frustrating as when you're really wanting to finish something. You're working on a project, and for whatever reason, you just can't. Maybe there's a blackout. Maybe there's an insurrection of some sort. Maybe, I don't know, you've been struck temporarily blind or deaf or whatever, and you just can't do what you set out to do that day. And that's what happened to me yesterday. And it led to me being flustered yet again. Every now and then I get to the point where I feel like I'm caught up in all the things I'm working on and I can actually relax for a little bit. And I had planned on doing that today. Today was my relaxing day. Instead, today is my catching up day because of yesterday. And I swear, you know, it makes me think there's got to be some kind of intelligent life form out there watching over all of us, making sure that when we suffer to the maximum extent possible. Yeah, there's no further proof needed that there is a fate out there, intelligent fate, than the thoroughness with which we get screwed by it. That tells me that someone's out there laughing. So I finally have gotten to the point where I've gotten everything back from the old system. Remember, my hard drive decided to blow up a few weeks ago and had to restore from backups. But it's a question of also reinstalling software, and it's a major pain. It really is. Even if you have all the backups, it's still a major pain. Nothing can compare to when you lose things. Fortunately, I didn't have to go through that, just because I was paranoid enough to keep backups constantly. But, yeah, I had gotten to the point of finally seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. And one of the things I've been involved in recently is re-encoding a lot of the audio that we have on the website from some of the old radio shows. And one of the projects involved basically means capturing audio from cassette tapes into the computer and doing it properly. You see, there's all kinds of ways you can do it improperly, and I've pretty much seen all of that over the last few months or even years. For instance, if you encode into the wrong type of program, you'll find that your audio starts to clip, and you won't even notice this until you randomly one day decide to play it back, and all of a sudden you realize that someone is talking, and the sentence just jumps like that, you know, in the middle. And no, that was me, don't panic, but that's the kind of thing. It's not detectable unless you listen and double-check and look for things like that. And so once you have that all finally figured out, and you're encoding it properly, well, then you have to convert from one format to another. You have to change the bit rates because you want a low-quality version versus a high-quality version. And that's when you learn that some programs decide they're going to cut off part of the MP3 that you produce. And it's just it's a nightmare because there are so many things that could go wrong, and they all do. And unless you're very paranoid and always looking for some kind of an inconsistency or a mistake or some kind of foul-up, you'll miss it until it's too late, until you've actually released material and it's out there, and people start complaining, saying, this is nonsense. It's not making any the words are all jumbled up. It's horrible noises. So that's what's involved in encoding massive amounts of audio. But, you know, I finally was at the point where the end was in sight. We had found some programs that for some reason we had the low-quality version on the website. We didn't have a high-quality version, so we had to re-encode those. Make sure all the ID3 tags that label the MP3s are all in order. And I had it timed out that it would all be done by today, and finally I could celebrate. I could sit down and I could open a Pepsi or something and relax for the first time in 3 years or whatever. So that's when something annoying happened that has happened Yesterday was the fourth time it happened. Actually, this happened once before on my old system and three times on the new system. That in itself is weird. Basically, when you encode audio into a computer, you're able to listen to it through the computer speakers, and you can see the input going into whatever program you're using to capture the audio. Well, all of a sudden, I wasn't able to hear anything. It was still coming into the computer, but for some reason, the audio was turned down. And I went, this is a Windows machine, regrettably, but it's just the way it happened to work out. I went to the little volume control thing on the bottom right of the screen. It's called a slider. And it was slid all the way down to zero. It's this horizontal bar, and it was all the way down at the bottom. So I said, okay, you know, pointed the mouse at it, clicked, and raised it up again. And I heard the audio when I did that, and then it just fell right back down again. Took about a second and a half and just went all the way back down to zero. And I've encountered this, like I said, a few times before, and I've asked maybe 100 people, what in God's name is going on here? What kind of mentality behind my computer is making the volume physically go down to zero? And every time I asked somebody, it was always the same response. Wow, that's a new one on me. Never heard of anything like that before. That's weird. So, yeah, you know, that wasn't very helpful. Didn't really solve my problem. The only thing I knew was that eventually, for whatever reason, this thing fixed itself. The previous times, it just started and then stopped. So if I resign myself to that, I guess, you know, I could get through it somehow. But the timing yesterday was the worst possible timing because I had to finish this project and I couldn't do it. I was just sitting there tearing my hair out wondering what's causing this. So I went through every possible bit of advice that I was given by every possible person I asked. And, of course, rebooted the system, did nothing. Didn't do a thing. Then I started to go through various bits of software that might be conflicting. Uninstalled every single bit of software that could possibly have anything to do with audio and reinstalled it. And at least one of those occasions wound up having a problem when I tried to reinstall it, had to re-register and contact the company and prove that I already bought the software. Major pain in the ass. None of that worked. None of that worked. So then the next step was to start killing off processes that might be harmful. This is all based on advice that I was getting from people. You know, normally I just like to be left alone to do what I want to do. I don't want to get into the whole intricacies of how this magical machine actually works. I don't want to get down to the binary code. I just want to make the thing work and be left alone. But no, I had to look at all, go open the task manager, look at all the different processes running, look up every single process, and see if any of them could be harmful or if any of them were not essential. And all the ones that were not essential, I killed. Now, those of you non-computer people out there that might be worried by that, it just means that I terminated. No, that doesn't sound good either. It means that I basically turned them off. And they turned themselves back on the next time I rebooted, but I just wanted to see if it might change the situation. And that took a long time to get through everything to make sure I was doing it properly. It had no effect. And then I rebooted, and guess what? All of a sudden, I had no volume at all. I didn't even have the possibility for volume. Apparently, somehow, my sound card had gotten, its driver had disconnected from the sound card and no longer recognized it. So, great. I was in horrible shape now. I had nothing. I couldn't even lift that little slider because it was no longer there. So then I had to go out and re-download the sound driver, reinstall it, and keep my fingers crossed. Each time I had to reboot the system, hope that I didn't mess anything else up. Because that's always the fear when you start tampering with things. All of a sudden, this delicate balance starts to unwind, and you're left with a machine that does not do what you want it to do. Well, fortunately, it came back, and guess what? Guess what? My volume control was restored. Yes, magically, miraculously, I had it back, and I was able to resume the work that basically I think about 8 hours, 10 hours had passed by that time from when I started my day to when I actually managed to start doing what I wanted to do at the beginning. And in all that time, I was just basically locked in front of the computer. Didn't eat, didn't drink, didn't leave the house, didn't do anything. Just frozen there. Because that's how you get when you're dealing with computer problems. You get fixated on them, and you just... Nothing else matters. Time goes by. The sun rises. The sun sets. The Mets play the game I totally forgot about. Although it turns out later that it was rained out. I didn't know that. I turned on the radio, and I heard that the Cardinals had come from behind or something, and they were talking about the football Cardinals, which threw me into a panic. I don't care about baseball, but every now and then the Mets get into the World Series or the playoffs or something, and you just sort of have to see if it's actually possible for miracles to happen. So anyway, yeah, the whole world, you know, North Korea launching nukes, everything is happening out there, and I'm just trying to figure out what in God's name is going on with this one little tiny thing. So apparently, reinstalling that driver did the trick somehow. I wasn't going to ask any questions at that point. I just figured, yeah, you know what? Whatever. You had your fun with me. Now let me try and catch up and maybe see if there's any place open where I can still get food at this hour. And I reached for the phone to pick up, and all of a sudden, I swear, as soon as I lifted the phone to my ear, I heard the volume fading down to zero. And there were no words. There were no words to describe the feeling at that point. Oh, because I left out the other part of the story. Literally, to the minute after I got my sound back, I decided to send mail to people rejoicing in the fact that apparently the problem was fixed. And that was when we lost the server. The main mail server, which is located in a different part of the state, all of a sudden, it was no longer reachable. That's when you know. That's when you know there's a fate out there, and it's an intelligent fate, and it's got a really bad sense of humor. So, yeah, there was that problem. But I didn't care. I didn't care. I just wanted to get this work done. And as I reached for the phone, all of a sudden, it went down to zero again. And there's just nothing you can say to describe the feeling at that point, because nothing is getting done. You're losing ground. If you're lucky, you'll wake up the next day 3 days behind. But at least this time I had a clue. I had a clue that it had something to do with me reaching for the phone, because it was at just that moment that it faded down to zero. But how could that be? How could my reaching for a phone make the volume control on my computer go all the way down to zero? As if a piece of software was controlling it, or as if somebody was holding the mouse down and clicking it at just that point. So I resolved to take a good look at all the wiring and all the connections to see if somehow there was something that could be doing this. And this is the embarrassing part of the story, because it turns out that underneath, well, the wire that actually controlled the audio to the computer stretched out across the desk, and underneath the phone was something I had never seen before. It was basically this little tiny hardwired device that was attached to the wire. And I don't know what purpose this thing possibly served. It was a volume control. And what had been happening over the last few months, every now and then, was that my phone was actually touching this device on the minus key and leaning into it, and having the effect of turning the volume all the way down, and as long as the phone was pressing onto that minus key, it was never the plus key, it was always the minus key, my volume would just go down to zero. Now, I don't know what purpose this thing serves, because I already have at least three different sliders on the computer itself where I can control the volume. I have the volume control on the speakers, I can control the volume. Why do I need something else to control the volume, whose only purpose apparently is to get caught underneath the phone and drive me crazy for several months? But there it was, a ridiculously stupid answer to a technical question. I guess I'm happy that I figured it out eventually, because I wasn't happy when it just started to work and I didn't know why. So in that sense, I sort of felt vindicated. Okay, yeah, I wasted an entire day, and it was an entire day by that point. But at least now I know it's never going to happen again. Something else will happen, but that won't ever happen. And that, of course, led me to the next problem of getting our server back up. Of course, everybody that could reset it was out of town. And so that caused a bit of a delay and some pandemonium. But everything is back to normal now. But the problem is everything is back to normal as of a few days ago. And, yeah, non-productivity, it's the worst thing. It's the worst thing because you're just sitting there watching the world go by and getting really, really, really frustrated. So that's where I stand. I'm trying to see what the rest of the world, where the rest of the world stands. I'm trying to focus on some of the good things. If I can find any of the good things that have been going on in the last few weeks, there aren't very many. As I said, 3,000 dead in Iraq, that's not good. There's this movie that is out. You hear about this one? It's the Bush assassination movie. Yeah, it's kind of weird. Channel 4 over in England has produced this movie called Death of a President. It's a fictional documentary. It was one of the most talked about movies of the Toronto Film Festival. And it has to do with basically the assassination of a president. And that president happens to be Bush. Now, of course, you may say to yourself, but Emmanuel Bush has not been assassinated. Yeah, it's a fake documentary. But what's odd about this is that it's a fake documentary about a real person being killed. And basically, it opens with demonstrations against Bush as he visits Chicago in 2007. As he leaves a hotel after delivering a speech, he is shot by a sniper in a nearby building. A police hunt leads to the arrest of a Palestinian man on flimsy evidence. Later, the man is convicted of the assassination and kept in prison, even as evidence points to another person as having committed the crime. And there's a whole lot of controversy, as you can well imagine, of such a movie being made and produced and distributed. Supposedly, it's going to be in some theaters in this country at the end of the month. And, you know, I got to say, critic that I am of Bush, this kind of disturbing, you have to admit, when it's a real person, a real existing person with a name. No matter how bad they are, how stupid they are, how evil they may be, it's still, I don't know, I have mixed feelings about this. But not mixed enough where I wouldn't want to see it. Thing is, it may never come to this country in theaters. I'm sure it will at some point, but I'm sure there will be protests. And I don't know if I really want to be in a crowded theater of people watching Bush get assassinated. I'm not sure where that would lead. But it has aired in England already. It's aired over there on Channel 4. And that means that there are all sorts of copies of this thing available on the Internet. So I was able to get a copy. I wasn't able to see it. I wanted to do that. I wanted to do that while I was encoding audio. Unfortunately, I spent my time staring at a computer screen. So if anyone out there has seen this movie, I'd like your opinions on it before it comes to this country. Death of a President. And there are people all over the place downloading this as one of the hottest items on the Internet right now. And that's not all. There's a video game that prompts players to kill characters that look like President Bush. Couldn't make this stuff up. That has been posted on a number of Islamist websites. But I'm sure we can get copies if we search around for them. The game is called Quest for Bush, or it's got a different name as well, The Night of Bush Capturing. That's not a good name, The Night of Bush Capturing. Stupid name. No, Quest for Bush, that's a good name. Players are prompted to advance through 6 missions against soldiers who look like Bush. Well, that's a mistake right there. Bush was never a soldier. He could never be a soldier. Wind up shooting himself in the foot or something. Okay, so 6 missions against soldiers who look like Bush, followed by a 7th mission against a character that looks like the president that takes place in a desert-like region. And during the game, jihadist songs are played in the background. The video game says it's produced by the Global Islamic Media Front, which is described as a jihadist mouthpiece organization who happens to make video games too. Game missions include Jihad Beginning, A Day at the Desert, Jihad Growing Up, Americans Hell, it's American plural, all Americans Hell, Searching for Bush, and finally, Bush Hunted Like a Rat. Bush Hunted Like a Rat, oh my goodness. The game uses a number of languages. Some descriptions are written in English, others are in Arabic, and others are in both languages. Labels on boxes containing gas masks in the game say, made in France. The game appears to be inspired by Doom, a video game released in 1993, in which the player, wielding a weapon on the video screen, has to collect other weapons and ammunition, slay a series of armed opponents, and then find the path to the next level. And they say Doom inspired Columbine. Well, interesting how history sort of repeats itself in reverse, because Iraq inspired a video game. Wow. Let's take a look at some listener mail. That's always my favorite part of the show anyway. Well, apart from the calls. Louis wrote in to tell me that actually in 1915, I asked for this statistic and he actually was able to find it. 1915, the Yankees and the New York Giants both finished with the same exact record of 69 and 83. Well, they certainly weren't in first place with that record. 1930, the Yankees and the Dodgers both were 86 and 68. And in 1949, the Yankees and Dodgers were 97 and 57. And in 1951, the Dodgers and Giants finished the season with identical records of 96 and 58. And Louis says he got this from retrosheet.org. And the reason why we got started on that was because both the Mets and the Yankees finished in first place this year with an identical record. I was wondering if that had ever happened before, and there was no immediate way to find out. So thanks, Louis, for writing in. Unless your name is Louis, I'm sorry, I can't really tell with that spelling. Dear Emmanuel, the Foley folly is indeed a perfect distraction from the really important stuff, with Fox calling him a Democrat, too. Yeah, what's up with that? Wishful thinking, huh? I was not that surprised at that little mistake. One minor, no pun intended, correction on your story. The age of consent over here is 16. Do you say where you are? You didn't even sign your name. I don't know who... Oh, okay, Irwin. I'm not sure where you are, though. Oh, you're in Holland. Okay. Age of consent over here is 16. We do not have that much of Sodom and Gomorrah. If you are 16 or over, and you have sex with somebody between 12 and 16, with consent, you go to jail for 8 years. If you're under 16 and you have sex with somebody between 12 and 16, with consent, that is allowed, but still heavily frowned upon. It's amazing that people sit around thinking up all these things. There is a group that tried to form a political party to get the age reduced down to 12 with consent for all ages, but they were dealt with as they should be, with disbelief. They boycotted, and then we moved on to more important things. That's what we can't seem to do here in this country, is move on to more important things. And now that we are more responsible, our former Minister of Justice made a remark that the Sharia, the Islamic law, would have to be introduced in Holland if 2/3 of the population voted for it, we being a democratic country. The country was too small to fit in all the reactions, and we are pretty small already. The leader of the largest party in power, the one who has said he would rather have 10 innocent people in prison rather than one bomber on the streets, proposed some emergency law to make this introduction of the Sharia law impossible, ignoring about 12 statements in our Constitution, he being a devout Catholic. Luckily, he was shot down, verbally that is, in the Senate. Anyway, yeah, keep up the good work. It's great to hear somebody at least screaming at things that don't make sense. Signed, Irwin, a podcast listener, just like my grandma. Really, she is. She is blind, and podcasts are a great source of information for her. Well, Irwin's grandmother, a special greeting to you. And I hope there are many grandmothers around the world listening to us, because we certainly want to reach people all over the place and get their opinions as well. Our email address, otw@2600.com. Dear Emmanuel, I listened to the last Off the Wall. This is actually two Off the Walls ago, when twice the issue of gun control came up. Before I go on further, I shall let you know that I'm not part of any gun advocacy group or anything. I'm also against a lot of the politics of the NRA. Furthermore, I don't even own a firearm myself, since there are other things in my life that take some priority over buying a gun. Well, gee, aren't many of us left, are there? Guns are the most important thing to so many people these days. Continuing here, the first time gun control was mentioned was when you spoke about a website where someone argued that there should be guns in elementary schools. Although you dismissed it as a crazy notion, and I'll agree that it is a little silly,
I don't think it's totally that far out there. If folks over 18 or even 21, depending on local laws, were carrying firearms, the assailant may have been stopped before he could kill anyone. It doesn't really work in a one-room schoolhouse, though, does it? I mean, you pretty much have the teacher there, unless you're going to have a cop just sitting around. And then what happens if the cop goes crazy? And yes, they do go crazy. Anyway, continuing with the letter, I can give you a better example. Maybe, just maybe, if more people exercise their right to bear arms, and airlines let people carry firearms on flights, oh boy, I doubt September 11th would have ended as tragically as it did. Well, let me just step in here and say that you may have a point in that if everybody on those flights had guns, there would have been a nice little gunfight in the air, and probably the plane would have just dived down someplace else. Or maybe it would have worked out where you just got the people that were evil, and after a bit of commotion, there were safe landings. Think of all the other times, though, where somebody gets drunk on a plane, or somebody acts like an idiot, and does the usual stupid things, only this time they have a gun. All right? Think about all the stories you've heard about people charging the cockpit door for no particular reason, people standing on their seats and screaming and just going crazy because they don't want to be boxed into this little cubicle for however many hours they're locked up there. Think about all the idiots that you know. Think about everybody you know and how stupid they can be and how stupid you can be sometimes. I know how stupid I can be. And inject guns into those little situations and see where you get. And I'll bet you'll have a lot worse than September 11th overall when you add it all up. Yeah, you'll have schoolhouse shootings in the air now. All right, let's continue with the letter. Of course, I'm sure the people who planned the whole thing would have found another way to attack. Of course, they would have. Not using aircraft as a weapon, but chances are that that attack would only have amounted to the hysteria generated by the 1993 World Trade Center bombing or any other terrorist attack that occurred before 9/11. That is, I don't think it would have changed life in the U.S. as quickly as the September 11th attack did. Well, a point of information here. It was not so much the attack that changed things. The attack affected everybody I know, especially people who lived in New York City. Everybody felt something from that. And it ripped us apart. But after a period of time, you do get on with your lives. Even those people that were directly affected by this, it's a horrible, horrible thing, but you do get on with your lives eventually after losing people who mean a lot to you, after losing your family. There's something in us that makes us go again. And sometimes we're scarred, sometimes we're changed, sometimes we're somehow strengthened. The changes that took place in this country were a result of the things our government did. We were all shocked for a while. We were all feeling the effects of it. But the horrible changes that have taken place, changes to our civil rights, changes to our freedom of travel, to the surveillance state around us, to the fact that we start wars now and invade countries and torture people and stand up and say, yeah, we're going to keep doing that. We're spying on telephone calls and banking records and just about everything you can think of, all for the sake of security. And I don't think it's helping us one bit. I don't think it's going to make us any more secure. I think basically a bunch of opportunists saw a chance here to get what they always wanted. And every government wants this, a chance to spy on their people, a chance to get their way anywhere in the world. And what better opportunity than September 11th to get all their wishes, pass the Patriot Act, invade Afghanistan, start invading Iraq, and stepping on the rights of the people. So that's really where the change came from. Let me finish your letter and I'll stop interrupting you. What I'm getting at is that for someone so concerned about all those rights that are being taken away, you certainly do seem to be very much against the proletariat owning guns. I can see the concern of guns getting into the hands of the mentally unstable, but taking everyone's firearms is not the solution. Again, I'm sorry to step in again, but I just got to answer this. Never have I said, go in and take everybody's guns. This seems to be the words that are put into the mouths of anybody who raises any question about the proliferation, about the easy availability. We're talking about having some degree of education, some degree of responsibility, and if you mess up, to be held accountable for it. If you leave a bunch of guns lying around and somebody takes one and shoots up a bunch of people, you're responsible. You should be held responsible, parents included. And we don't have enough of that. Okay, continuing. The more legally owned firearms there are, the better off people would be. Weren't all the guns used in the past few weeks, all the shootings, weren't they all legally owned? At any time a violent crime or a gun crime is committed, nearby gun owners can respond and defuse situations before the police get there. You have a lot of faith in your citizens and their aim and their readiness and shooting the right people. The cops can't even shoot the right people. What makes you think that the rest of us are going to be any better? And I'll read you last paragraph, and I swear I won't interrupt you. While I do agree with a lot of your points of view on many issues, I do not agree with your stance on gun control, or at least the way you seem to feel about it. Thanks for reading my little rant. Signed, Thomas D. And Thomas, thank you for writing, and sorry for all the interruptions there, but it's kind of like having a conversation. Dear Emmanuel, listening to the last show, the news bit about the student walking into his school with an AK-47 and shooting at the ceiling, the media has seemed to include the trench coat detail in every article, it seems, and that's probably why, starting next Monday, my school is banning any kind of coat or heavy shirt in school. Yeah, because that's the problem, isn't it? you can't wear it during school. It has to be in your locker. I don't see the logic behind this, but that's a school policy, and we all must follow it. And speaking of society going crazy and powerful people that are bored, I was almost recommended for expulsion for bringing a lighter to school. I was sent to the superintendent. He forced me to apologize for what I don't know. And on top of all that, I was suspended from school for a week, ruining my 4.0 grade point average. Me being new to the U.S. school system. Aha, that's it. And basically being new to the U.S. at all. I was only here for 4 years. It didn't seem to me that big of a threat. I can have a big long rant about how these schools are run, but you get the point. You know, actually, you said, quoting you here, I can have a big long rant about how these schools are ran. Yeah. If you have a 4.0 average, it's not ran, it's run. Just a little helpful hint there while you're sitting on that week's detention if you're still out. On the military topic, it gets really frustrating. In my school, it's not military personnel coming to our school, but it's the teachers brainwashing us. Right after we get all our tests back with the test scores, they get into a big long lecture of how, if we're doing bad right now, you will end up in the military. But who knows? Maybe once I get into high school, they might be doing that. The recruitment, that is. Your show is great. Keep up the good work. You're the only radio show that speaks of these things, and it's a shame that others aren't doing so. Signed, Josep. Maybe English isn't your first language, the way this name is spelled, but still, you got to learn English grammar. I think that's important. But thanks for the letter. It's very, very good points raised there. And, yeah, we did raise a number of points about military in schools and how frustrating that is. Here's another letter on that topic. On last week's show, you mentioned that there is much U.S. military propaganda in high schools. From my personal experiences, that is certainly the case. I am in 10th grade at New Rochelle High School, which is a public school. My favorite anecdote was during history class last year. All of a sudden, which means you were in 9th grade when you saw this. All of a sudden, we heard blasting rap music, and when we looked out the window, there was a group of uniformed recruiters in a suited-up Hummer with huge speakers, a big screen TV, and a custom paint job. The crowd of students cutting school at the McDonald's across the street came running over to look. Our teacher, obviously pissed off, stuck her head out the window and started cursing at them. Bravo. Soon, she demanded the principal force the recruiters to leave, but he reported that he could not legally do so, probably because they were not on school property or something. She explained to us that her brother was brainwashed to the point that he enlisted, and he said that the Hummers in use in Iraq are certainly not at all suited up. In fact, they were suited down. And this should be obvious for the average person, but to young and impressionable teenagers, it is not so. And that's Robert. Thank you very much for sending that piece of mail in. We had asked people to let us know when they start recruiting people in schools, because this basically is predatory behavior. And in many ways, it's as bad, if not worse, than those other kinds of predators that we've heard so much about in the news. People who, congressmen out there who send these rather risque instant messages. Yeah, that's disturbing, but this is also disturbing, and we don't pay enough attention to it. These people come to our schools, they convince our kids to go off with them, and die. Yeah, for no particular reason. And the thing is, this is what a lot of people don't seem to understand. When you're in the military, you don't get to ask the reasons. That's how the military works. You have to follow the orders. And I know that that runs counter to what all of us pretty much listening to this program probably believe in. We like to question everything. But when you're in the military, you're a machine. You have to follow the orders. So it's not easy for somebody who is ordered to fight a particular battle to say, well, wait a minute, let's think about this. You can't do that. It's too late once you're already there. That's why it's important to reach people before they cross that line and they're in a situation where they can't back out and where they're just going to be sent like lambs to the slaughter. Okay, and speaking of lunacy, by the way, our phone lines are open, 631-632-9872. I see we have a loan call coming in, so let's stack up the lines and we can take some phone calls. 631-632-9872. Get this. This is about the dumbest thing I've heard all week. Youngsters in a suburban Fort Worth, Texas, where else? Sorry. Not a lot of good people in Texas, I know, but come on, guys. This could only come out of Texas. Youngsters in a suburban Fort Worth school district are being taught not to sit there like good little boys and girls with their hands folded if a gunman invades the classroom, but to rush him and hit him with everything they've got, books, pencils, legs, and arms. Yeah, this guy Robin Brown, a major in the British Army Reserve and an instructor for response options, is going around telling little kids to do this kind of a thing. Students are instructed not to comply with the gunman's orders and to take him down. These are elementary school kids, not people who are trained, not people in the Army, not people who have any kind of background whatsoever. They're telling little kids to react in this way. Now, okay, you know, there may be situations where you can fight back. But do you really think somebody in elementary school is going to know the difference between a situation like that and a situation that is truly dangerous, where they have no chance? If a gunman bursts into a schoolroom with guns drawn and a bunch of little kids charge him, I guarantee you, some of them are going to die because he's going to open fire. Yeah, they might tackle him in the end, but there's going to be a cost of that. Whereas, horrible as it may sound, if you sit down and are calm and follow directions and you get a decent hostage negotiator on the outside, maybe we can walk away from this with no bloodshed. But to treat little kids as if they're members of the military and to accept that some kind of collateral damage is acceptable. No, that's just not right. And what kind of country are we building here? But we're actually suggesting that kids do this kind of thing, that they think like soldiers. I mean, elementary school is just not what it used to be. All right. On that note, let's take some phone calls. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
How you doing?
Okay. How are you?
Good.
What's on your mind?
Speaking of Texas, I got family, a sister that lived out there, but that's the state where, you know, when they don't like you, they drag you to death with a truck, too, you know?
Yeah, there's that.
And I'm just wondering, because it made me think of that, whatever happened to those guys, you know, how long they're in for, and are they in for life? It's just, you know, I would just wonder. That was just the same kind of mentality, though, you know, they're people a little wacky.
Yeah, well, I mean, you must have seen things change over the years, over the decades, right? We are definitely moving in a direction, aren't we?
We are. I used to think a little more to the right of things, and now, you know, I slowly started shifting, you know, not on all issues, but quite a few. And I'm kind of mixed with the gun control, too, because only for the reason that if it ever became necessary to defend myself against the government themselves, I would want that Second Amendment right. But I don't, you know, it's not on the list of things to buy these days either. But it makes you wonder with the way things are going.
Well, here's the thing. You do have the right to defend yourself against the government, but do you honestly think you would have any chance against the tanks and guns that they have with whatever guns you could possibly get?
No, but if you wound up fighting it out with the people that were going to fight for them in your own little neighborhood, you might have a chance, you know, because you could use your brains along with a few weapons that you have. I really think things are going to get interesting in the next 10 years. If we don't make a big change right now with the next two elections, the midterm, and then the presidential, if people really don't wake up, I think it's going to get so bad that, like, really bad things are going to happen. Well, not coming from the outside either.
If people decided that things were so bad that they had to exercise this Second Amendment right and go out there and fight the government, do you see that actually happening?
I think if things don't start going in a different direction, you know, it was like, what, 100 years ago that they tried to take over in New York City. Something happened between the police and the federal government and state government, whatever it was. It's not as crazy as it sounds. People, uh-huh. Some people are fed up. You know, it sounds like there's a few of us, but there's more than a few. And, you know, we're trained into being the sheep and going, you know, shopping at holiday times and buying this and buying that and going, you know, 90% of the people are probably living beyond their means because it's the way it's the setup. And to not do it makes you an odd person, so people go along with it. But most of them... I'm probably saying to himself at some point that they, well, you know, what the heck am I doing with all this stuff, you know?
Right.
I would think, you know. I know I do, you know, and I try to limit how much I'm influenced by the outside stuff. But you start to become like, a pariah on certain things.
Mm-hmm. But tell me, how do you expose yourself to different thoughts and ideas and perspectives?
By listening to shows like this, going to the library, taking out books, flipping through the public access TV. Listening to people that I don't know when I just talk to them and just asking questions, you got to, you don't get all good information, but you get, people have to be open and you have to, like, search for stuff. If you just wait for the mail to come and you open it up and say, oh, that's wonderful, then that's what you're going to get. If you don't start looking around to, you know, I try to get young people too. That's my other thing. Older people are hard to change. I grab kids at any age and say, hey, you know, some of the people say question everything. That's a good... It's a good policy.
Absolutely. Hey, thanks for your call.
Thank you, buddy. Take care.
All right. And good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Hey, Manuel. It's Brill from over in England here.
Oh, hey. How you doing? Call from England. It must be late over there.
It's 10 to 12.
Okay. What's on your mind?
I saw the assassination of a president earlier on. Well, it was last week, actually.
Death of a President, the program that was on your Channel 4.
Yes. That's correct. Has it not been aired at all in America?
It has not aired. They're releasing it supposedly in theaters at the end of the month, although I can't imagine the kind of theater that's going to show a movie about President Bush being assassinated. I mean, I can imagine some, but it's going to be very controversial. I'm sure you won't be able to get into the door. And no, it hasn't made it to television yet, but it is out there on the Internet, and everybody I know is downloading it.
Mm. I find, for some strange reason, I find it a bit weirder. Being released in cinemas prior to being aired, if you know what I mean.
Uh-huh.
People are sort of, it's very easy to flick the channel station over and put, like, you know, Channel 4 on over here. It's a lot more effort to actually get yourself ready, go out and go to the cinema and pay to see it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's more of an event. But, you know, again, I don't know if it's something you just want to casually turn on. It's just something, I guess, you really want to sort of devote the evening to, because there's bound to be all sorts of discussions and probably all sorts of altercations breaking out as a result of this thing. Well, how was it received in your country?
Well, I mean, from the reactions of like, sort of in my social group, we all found it quite in bad taste, really.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, myself and a lot of my friends, we... you know, we don't agree with some of his policies or most of his policies, and we don't necessarily like the guy, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
But I still think it was in pretty bad taste and a bit weird.
Yeah, I sort of feel the same way reading the stories. I haven't seen it yet, so I don't know if it was presented well or not, but the concept does strike me, I agree with you, as being in bad taste. I mean, this is somebody who actually is alive, is real. And to have a fictional account of that particular person being killed is, yeah, kind of it would creep anybody out, I think. But how does such a thing happen where it gets produced, it gets aired on a major network like Channel 4. How are you just that different from us that you can do things like this?
Well, I mean, Channel 4 is quite a not a risky channel, but the sort of the like to get close to the mark. I mean, the viewed or the aired rather, the first live autopsy on TV. A few years back. It's a German guy, doctor. He wears a trilby. You might have seen him on the internet, but he's pretty much like an artist.
Uh-huh.
But he actually did this live autopsy on TV a couple of years back. I'll think of the name and I'll phone in maybe next week or something, or I'll email it. I can't remember the name, escapes me at the minute, but Channel 4 are pretty risky.
And you guys have all sorts of language that you can use that we can't use here. And you invented the language, too, so it's I can never understand that.
Well, I mean, the one video that I have seen of George Bush, which I thought was much better than the thing that I had the other week, I don't know if you've seen it. It's called George Bush, the 10-Year Difference. It's on YouTube, if you want to search on YouTube.
Okay.
Basically, it's sort of stating that the person who produced the film reckons that George Bush is suffering from pre-senile dementia.
Well, that's an interesting theory. I don't think it should get him out of all the crap he's caused. I think he definitely has to stand trial in some form for that.
Yeah, I mean, it takes you back to when he was governor of Texas, and I mean, the guy just, you know, as an orator, the words just flew out of his mouth. He was very fluent,
mm-hmm.
articulate, but then it sort of showed you footage of him 10 years later, and he was having difficulty stringing sentences together. I mean, you know what he's like, obviously.
Yeah, well, I just wish that we could elect somebody that actually is articulate, that doesn't have to read from a script, that has unique ideas. There's been a lot of talk in recent weeks about Barack Obama out of Illinois. I'm sure you've probably seen him on British TV at some point. We do have people that can do it.
Yeah.
But will they ever get the attention that they deserve, and will they ever get the opportunities to actually step up and be taken seriously?
Yeah, but at the same time, I mean, Tony Blair, there's not many better speakers than him.
Tony Blair is he's an intelligent guy, and he can articulate himself well. I just think he reaches the wrong conclusions on a lot of things.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And one final point.
Yes.
I'm just putting this out there as an idea. I think I emailed off the hook a good few months back about this, but is a wartime president allowed to stay on in office over the two terms?
I don't believe so. I sure hope not.
Well, the only reason I make that point is because I'm fairly certain, I mean, history might be wrong, but I'm fairly certain Roosevelt stayed on, I think, did Truman take over from
Roosevelt? Roosevelt stayed on, but that's the reason why that amendment was made in the first place, because he kept staying on, and we kind of got sick of him, and it's the only way to get rid of him.
Oh, right,
so
I've got you.
There hasn't been any situation since then, and there have been wars since then, Korea and Vietnam and of course, Grenada. And all the other little things that we've been involved in.
It's just whether or not this guy would actually, be looking to change any amendments that you have. So,
In a way, I kind of hope he tries to do that. That would be fun.
Yeah.
Anyway, listen, we got to go. Thanks for your call.
No problem. Bye.
Take care. Call over there from England. And we welcome calls from everywhere. But unfortunately, we can't take any more calls tonight because we are just about out of time. And again, we have the fundraiser coming up next week, so please tune in to that. We'll have all kinds of interesting things available for you to call and help keep this station going. And what a valuable place it has been over the years. I mentioned that I know a lot of people who downloaded this movie that I have yet to see, which I have a copy of. I actually got a copy of somebody else who downloaded it. So I guess you could say I downloaded it too, because it's not available here. And I want to see it. And I want to be part of these conversations. But I did something else, too, and I want to confess to that. I also pirated some music today that I'm going to play now. And the reason I pirated the music is because you can't get this anyplace else. There's this Monty Python song that has to do with looking on the bright side, which is what I always try to profess. And unfortunately, there's a word in there that we can't say on the air. Now, there's a different version of the song that was made for radio stations where that word is substituted with the word spit. Yeah, you can say spit, and you know the word I'm talking about. I just can't say that word because if I said that word, that would be a violation, and we'd get fined hundreds of thousands of dollars. But you can say spit, and they say spit in this song, but you can't buy the song that has the word spit in it. And the record we have here in the station has the other word in it, and so we can't do that. So in order to save ourselves several hundred thousand dollars, I downloaded this song. And, well, that's just the crime I had to commit. See you next week.
Some things in life are bad. They can really make you mad. Other things just make you swear and curse. When you're chewing on life's gristle, that grumble, give a whistle. And this'll help things turn out for the best. Always look on the bright side of life. Always look on the light side of life. If life seems jolly rotten, there's something you've forgotten, and that's to laugh and smile and dance and sing. When you're feeling in the dumps, don't be silly chumps, just purse your lips and whistle, that's the thing.
Always look on the bright side of life.
Come on.
Always look on the bright side of life.
For life is quite absurd, and death's the final word. You must always face the curtain with a bow. Forget about your seat, give the audience a grin. Enjoy it, it's your last chance of the hour.
So always look on the bright side of death. Just before you draw your terminal breath.
Life's a piece of spit when you look at it. Life's a laugh and death's a joke, it's true. You'll see it's all a show, keep them laughing as you go. Just remember that the last laugh is on you. And
always look on the bright side of life. Always look on the right side of life.
Come on, wind you up.
Always look on the bright side of life.
Hi, this is Albert Collins. When I'm out in Stony Brook, I'll be listening to WUSB FM station. When I want to listen to some good blues, that's the station you tune into.